both named Steve, and they're here to tell us about their union organizing drives at their workplaces.
Well, we started actually probably about... Is that working? We started about 6 or 7 months ago. And the basic issue is that there at Pizza, the company I work for, there's a $1.60 delivery charge, of which the delivery drivers received at the time only 60 cents per delivery. Drivers pay for their own gas, their own insurance, automobile wear and tear, just general maintenance.
Tires, brakes, et cetera.
Yeah, and the company doesn't pay for any of that. So as we see it, therefore, because most people see that $1.60 charge, they assume it goes to the drivers. Essentially, the company is stealing a dollar per delivery from the drivers. And, you know, folks should bear in mind that delivery driving is listed in under Bureau of Labor Statistics as the fifth most dangerous occupation. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's not not a safe thing by any means. That's been the main issue. We decided that we would also like to try and get the inside workers who just have to deal with the BS of, working at a minimum wage job. So that's been our starting point, you know.
Would you guys be willing to talk about what it's like to be a delivery driver and how what kind of conditions do you face? I mean, I understand that a lot of people... just think that pizzas magically appear at their door, but there seems to be, like, a lot more that goes into it.
Yes, there's definitely a process with that. We've had some of the members of our organizing committee have been shot at, actually. One fella pulled up to a house, and he was sitting there kind of reading his address and catching his bearings, and a shot went through, shot out his window, and...
Even one attacked by a bear.
Had one attacked by a bear. I didn't want to forget about that. This is out in a kind of a rural area, and the fellow went up to deliver the pizza, and he sees the family in the window kind of waving at him frantically, and he kind of thinks it's a game, so he waves back at him, and he's kind of jumping around, and then all of a sudden this little brown bear comes tearing around the corner. So he just dropped his pizzas there, and fortunately the pizzas looked more appetizing than him apparently, and he hightailed it out of there. So what other things we've had? One of our organizers who couldn't make it today, couldn't make it because he's currently in litigation with a company because he was hit while delivering a pizza, and that's the thing, is you can be a fantastic driver and be the most skillful driver, but there are other people out there on the roads that you have to watch out for. And his car was totaled, and he was incapacitated in bed for quite some time. Steve, did you want to tell your story about...
One of the biggest concerns we have is the rising cost of gas, which I'm sure nobody is happy about anywhere. But if you look at most businesses which involve transportation, freight company... a fleet company, any kind of a thing like that, even taxi cab drivers who are all independent contractors, are in a position where the rates have been raised to compensate them for the gas prices. And we as employees are not really happy with the idea of compensating a business cost out of our own pocket, which is exactly what is happening with the delivery charge, because at one point we were compensated at 60 cents, it was a dollar, and then it was raised. No, it was 160 cents. So it was, we got the delivery charge, which went to us. Then it was a dollar, and then a dollar 50, and then a dollar 60. And this was when gas prices were still low. And we were actually kind of getting pinched at two ends, because first of all, if you deliver to somebody and they see a dollar 60 delivery charge, they think, okay, this is the guy's tip, and you're done, which basically means you're getting 65 cents for having driven out there and coming back. Second of all, with the raise in the gas prices, it costs more to do that. And, of course, there's also the wear and tear on a vehicle. And our biggest concern was, why should we as employees who do not participate in profit sharing, have no ownership in the company whatsoever, pay a business expense? Because up until really now, even taxi cab drivers are compensated and they're independent contractors. So an independent contractor is getting compensated for something an employee has to, you know, yet an employee who drives as well does not. And we find that to be a little bit difficult. And I was never very a pro-union person at all until I got stuck in this position. And it just got to a point where, okay, enough is enough with this already.
In fact, Steve over here was a hardcore libertarian. So it's quite a journey he's made here today. Hallelujah. But as he pointed out, we went from 60. We just, after 5 months of really intense organizing, the company held a series of union-busting meetings, including one that was a voluntary meeting for about five or six stores in Tacoma, which is where we are the strongest. And it was a complete disaster. They were expecting 60 people to show up, and about 16 did. And 2 weeks later, they increased our reimbursement by 5 cents, which translates to about a 20-cent per hour raise. You know, of course, they didn't come out and say, yes, it's because of the union, but there's no doubt about it. The president released a memo citing that it was related to the increase of gas prices, but if you look overall, since the delivery charge was originally, we got 50 cents in reimbursement 4 years ago, since that time, gas prices have been consistently 30 to 70% higher, you know, and we've only seen a 15% corresponding raise. So in essence, he's then stating that he was fully aware of this, you know, up to 70% increase in gas hike. You know, and all of a sudden it goes up a couple more cents, and then his heart can't take anymore, and he just gives us an extra nickel. You know, I mean, it's definitely because, you know, people were out there. They found flyers as far north as Everett and as far south as down here in Olympia, and that's when they really started to crack down. So.
And again, this is employees compensating for a business expense, which the employer is responsible for.
Which he, I mean, in fact, in this, we just recently had a union busting meeting. They've now started to schedule mandatory union busting meetings for all 61 stores in Western Washington, and the president, under delivery costs, he tried to put labor under there. He said, well, the $1.60 costs us $2.04 in labor to deliver a. Deliver the pizzas, and one of our organizers shot up and says, wait a second, so do you mean to tell me that I'm supposed to pay for my own wage, which is essentially what his reasoning was, you know, that, you know, we're going to cover our own labor costs for the $1.60, so it's pretty heinous.
So there's one company that owns all the franchise, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the company's called Emerald City Pizza, and they own all 61 stores in Western Washington, so, I mean, that's a benefit in that we haven't had to face the money that, you know, Pizza Hut, the corporation, has. We've been dealing with kind of a smaller entity. So it's been, you know, it's given us a little more room in that sense.
So you talked about, like, wear and tear on your car as well as gas prices. How does Emerald City Pizza justify making you pay for business expenses?
Well, they don't. I mean, of course, in the anti-union meetings that we've had to deal with all kinds of Pizza Hut propaganda, and some of the arguments that they've used have just been outrageous. Originally, they tried to justify the increase by stating that it was linked they had a 10-cent increase back when we first started unionizing. It went from $1.50 to $1.60, and they said it was because of September 11th. And, I mean, which, you know, I just thought was just, you know, absolutely horrible.
Supposedly, the insurance companies have all had to raise prices to compensate, yet, I don't know, maybe everyone in the building that day just ordered a lot of pizza at once that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, so, and then let's see, some of the other things that they've tried to justify the costs is to say that, well, cheese costs more than gas. And, you know, my response to that was, well, I guess I can't buy a cheese-powered car now. You know, I mean, it's like, how is that my problem? You know, I mean, it's your company, you know. It's, you know, I don't pay you to work for you. You pay me.
Yeah, and I think even the most conservative people would have to agree that if you work for a company and you are an employee, then the employee should not carry a business expense. The employee's responsibility is to show up, do their job, go home, and that's it. The employee, since they do not share in the profits, should not share in the expense of running the business.
I would definitely agree. So how did this unionizing effort begin?
Well, it began with really three guys in a parking lot one night, Steve and another Steve. And we just said, hey, you know, well, actually what it is you know, this Steve over here approached me, and I'm a pretty pro-union guy. And I said, you know, if this hardcore libertarian over here is talking about unionizing, maybe it's time that I get off my duff and do something about this. So we went out about a week later, and we just went around from parking lot to parking lot of all the stores in Tacoma and just talked with people. And it took really just about in less than a night, we had supporters in six stores, and it just grew from there. As of right now, we after the anti-union meetings that we just had, we probably lost some strength, to be honest. But we have supporters in 15 stores from Tacoma through Seattle. You know, we're trying to make as much progress as we can here. But basically, the only way that we've just had to you know, go from essentially waiting in dark, rainy parking lots at night and waiting until, you know, we see a driver jumping out of some bushes and basically, you know, trying to convince a guy in 2 minutes, A, we're not muggers, and B, that they should join the union, you know. So it's been difficult, and there's a lot of things that people probably aren't aware of. That, for example, it's illegal for you to hand out do you want to? Okay. Sorry.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too shabby.
Go ahead, caller. Ask a question.
Well, I was wondering what other issues you have besides pay and the mileage reimbursement rate.
Safety, obviously, is a big one. As I mentioned, it is the fifth most dangerous occupation. As I mentioned, delivery driving is the fifth most dangerous occupation. Just to give you an example of how the company feels about the drivers, there was a, you know, if you remember, there was a pretty large snowstorm back in...
Your guests aren't getting through on the phone.
Oh, that's true. We don't have a patch to the phone. Can you turn your radio up in your ear a little bit and maybe keep it away from the voice?
If I do, I get a lot of feedback through the phone. Yeah, I'm sure you understand.
Okay. What's that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's some high-tech stuff there. Can you hear me now?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Well, as I was saying, one of the other things that were main issues has been safety. You know, if you recall about back in the winter time, we had a pretty massive snowstorm, and a lot of the drivers were actually forced to go out on the roads without chains, and we had a number of accidents. Which kind of leads me to another point indirectly is, you know, most people fail to realize that, you know, any kind of business your job, it's essentially, you know, a totalitarian environment. You go in and you're told what to do, when to do it, and you really have no say about the matter, you know. The rest of your life, you know, outside of work, you at least have some kinds of rights. I mean, you can vote and things like that, but those rights fall short the minute you enter inside the workplace. It's like, you know, it's not part of America, you know, or something. But so one of the other things that we're agitating for is what's called a shop steward system, which is where the workers are able to elect a representative who can effectively write up management, more or less, and file grievances for abuses like that, when the managers say, well, you know, you're going to go out on those roads, you know. Our only option at that point in time was to say, okay, no, I quit, you know, and maybe, you know, face an uncertain job market or, you know, probably the same conditions in the next workplace. So it's a long answer, I guess.
I should have introduced myself first. I've been delivering pizzas on and off for 17 years. My name is J.W. Callahan. I am the president of the Association of Pizza Delivery Drivers.
Hey!
Good to meet you.
I've talked with you a couple of times. Hey, how's it going? Yeah. Well, you actually brought up some points in that last email, so maybe you had talked about some of the equipment. Maybe you could talk about that.
Well, what would you like to address specifically?
Well, you had mentioned you mentioned flashlights and various sorts of things that drivers need, but that, you know, they aren't actually equipped with. So
for 2 years nationwide, I've been preaching the usefulness of a cellular phone. The cellular phone is probably more useful to a driver than any weapon, any tool, anything they could possibly carry. Personally, what I do is I call each and every one of my customers back when I'm on their street. I get them to turn on a porch light, come out and greet me, see me go from my car to the house and back from the house to the car. I haven't met a customer in 2 years that has disagreed with me, has had a problem with it. It keeps you safe, but the sticker is, you know, you run up quite a bill on your personal cell phone, and I think the company should have to pay for that kind of equipment. It's vital as a life-saving tool, not to mention it gives great customer service on behalf of the company. I'll let you expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. We've been, we're still in the process of working on our demands because we've wanted to do it in a more or less democratic fashion, and people have really good ideas like that, and that's, in the literature that we've been putting out, we've had to kind of limit the space. So I guess the wages kind of jump right out at people. So, you know, that's kind of why we've been focusing on that. But, no, that's a fantastic point.
It strikes me that about 60% of my pay comes from my customers, not my employer.
Tips, you mean?
Pardon?
In tips, you get more in tips is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm working more for my customer than for my employer. Currently, my employer, I mean, I've been doing this 17 years, but my current employer refuses to pay more than $5.40 an hour.
Jeez.
To anybody.
Jeez.
Doesn't matter how long you've been doing it, how good you are, what other jobs you can do in the store, that's all they're going to pay, period. And if you don't like it, they'll replace you with an 18-year-old kid. One of the things that I find most distressing about the job is automobile insurance. You know, if your auto insurance carrier finds out you're delivering for Pizza Hut, they're going to drop you like a hot rock.
Yeah.
That was another thing which we were going to look into.
People every day in the country, they're more or less delivering pizzas every day that are not properly insured for what they're doing. And the company indemnifies themselves through workers' comp insurance and non-owned auto insurance. If you get hurt out there and your insurance denies your claim, you're just out of luck.
Which brings up a very good point that I know several workers at my store that don't have insurance that just forge the documents, they do it out of economic necessity because, as you mentioned, I remember one time I told a company just by mistake that I was a delivery driver when I was shopping for insurance, and I just slapped myself in the head, and it was, they wanted $400 a month. Which is, you can't live off of that if you're...
On liability alone.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, how are you going to... you got insurance and my transmission just went out on me. Steve's car is broken down. It adds up. I agree.
Another...
I mean, they literally view it as a job where they can replace you for less money than it costs to replace a broken piece of equipment in the store.
Yes, I agree. That puts it up, yeah.
3 years ago, I was injured while working at Domino's. I got hit from behind at a stop sign by an uninsured motorist. To date, that's cost me about $40,000.
Yeah.
And I haven't received a bit of compensation from the company. Workers' comp insurance paid about $2,500 on it.
Now, that's the thing. I mean, you really are, you're a piece of equipment to these guys, more or less. You're basically a profit-making machine. And we had, at this anti-union meeting we just had, one of these kids was, naively saying to, you know, saying, well, you know, listen to this CEO. He cares about us. He just wants us to have this information so that these, you know, evil union people can't come in and just wreck everything. And, you know, I just turned around and looked at him and was like, you know, he doesn't give a damn about you. He could replace you tomorrow. His money's at stake, and, you know, that's the only issue. But, yeah, I think you summed it up well.
Like your buddy Steve there, 2.5-3 years ago, I was an independent with a libertarian bent. And now I'm the president of a labor union that's trying to get started up and organize drivers all over the country. We have over 500 members in 45 states that are out there doing just exactly what you guys are doing in Washington. I applaud your efforts. You're doing a great job.
Well, hey, thanks. I've seen your site, and one of our organizers is actually, you know, he speaks very highly of you, and I know that you've, you know, he's got some good ideas from you. So yeah, keep it up. It's fantastic. So.
Well, we need to come together here, and I'll tell you what, the reason that we started our own organization and decided to build a labor union from scratch was after having numerous discussions with the Teamsters. And, you know, all of the organized unions that are out there already basically come to us and said, look, you're a joke. We're not going to try to organize pizza drivers. You're not even employees. You don't have anything. And, you know, that was what many of the unions came to us with. When we approached them about organizing, they said, well, you know, if you want to work for free to try to make people into Teamsters, make drivers into Teamsters, that's a good idea. We'll let you do that, but we're not going to help you.
Yeah. Well, we did meet some resistance ourselves. And, I mean, the one thing I would say to you is, you know, you've got to organize the inside workers, too. You know, I mean, and it's just the simple fact that all the workers have to stand together. I mean, it seems tough, I know, but, I mean, you can't. They can divide you that way, and you can't shut them down completely unless you got the whole crew behind you.
You'd be surprised. Our organizing committee 2 years ago insisted upon the name Association of Pizza Delivery Drivers, but our charter gives us jurisdiction over all pizza shop employees.
Okay.
Not just about drivers.
Right.
But what we believe is that it's a give-and-take world. We want something from them, but we've got to be able to give them something back. You know, we can't expect the companies to just, you know, give us $10 an hour right off the bat. They'd have to charge $30 a pizza, you know, to do that.
Oh, I disagree. They could cut their, they could cut their profit margins. It's plain and simple.
They
could
cut waste and pay for it, for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of waste in the industry. But the point is that, with the pizza industry, everybody that works in the store should be cross-trained to take it, make it, bake it, and take it, basically, okay? If you had employees that were able to do everything, it would have a definite impact on the labor dollar and bring it down, even though wages would go up.
Mm-hmm.
If they could do that, get a handle on waste, they could pay for our demands.
Yeah. Well, you
know, and I've been all around the industry, from cook and driver to the general manager, so, I mean, I understand.
Caller, could
I see the numbers all the time.
Caller, could I ask you to put your information out there so that people can get hold of your organization?
Certainly. We're the Association of Pizza Delivery Drivers. You can find us at pizzadeliverydrivers.org on the internet. That's about it.
All right. Hey, man. Thanks. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay.
Y'all keep up the good work, and you keep agitating them. You guys have got the strongest union effort going in the nation right now, and I really applaud you. We need to work together, regardless of whether you guys organize under HERE, UCFW, APDD, whoever. We all have to work together on this issue because we need nationwide support.
I agree. Hey, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Steve, did you want to add anything to that? I know you couldn't speak over there.
Well, basically, he covered it as far as the cost of insurance, because as it stands right now, pretty much everybody is defrauding their insurance company because they have to. I mean, if you're making our kind of a salary, chances are you can't afford between $400 to $550 a month for commercial driving insurance. And again, since we are providing a service to our employer, why is it that the employer gives us such a difficult time about, you know, compensating a business expense, which is delivering on their time to deliver their products? And the answer, of course, is that it saves them money.
Yeah. Well, if you know, the APDD guy brought up a good point that I didn't get a chance to address is one of the things we hear most often is, a union for a minimum wage job, why would you want to do that? I mean, I can understand you need a union for coal miners or dock workers, but, you know, those guys make $20, $30 an hour. Well, the response to that is that the reason that coal miners and dock workers make that much money is because they unionize. My grand uncle was a coal miner, and he used to get 16 cents per ton, you know, and they unionized, and today it's a great job. It was a crap job back then. And, you know, that's why you unionize. That's what it's about.
Have you found obstacles because of that? Like, because there's such a high turnover rate in pizza delivery business that organized unions might not want to touch the whole industry?
I actually went to the Teamsters originally too, and that was one of their concerns, and we went with a different union. But the reason that, at least with delivery drivers, they're like he was saying, you know, he's done it 17 years. I've done it for 8. Steve over here has done it for 5, and there we have people in our committee that have done it for years and years. The reason that most of the people quit is because their car breaks down or because they get in an accident. You know, and with the kids, they'd stick around, I think, if it was a decent job that you could make a living wage. And I think any employer is capable of paying a living wage. And they can do it without jacking up the prices, you know.
Also, just to give an example of how much hostility and resistance there was to this, we had discussed, even on a non-union basis before, just collectively going to an insurance company and saying, if we all chip in, the 30 of us at all these stores, actually combined with all the drivers, I don't know how many, I guess there's about 300 in the Tacoma area, right about?
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
You know, what sort of an insurance rate would we get? Because technically, we are all right now defrauding our insurance companies, because as far as I know, there's nobody shelling out $400 to $600 for commercial driving insurance. And this wasn't even something we wanted them to pay for. We just said, hey, why don't we collectively go into it? And the resistance against it was almost immediate. No, and don't even think about going there, and don't even start all this union crap, blah, 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 which kind of shocked me, because we, at that point in time, weren't even saying, hey, since we're doing this for you, why don't you compensate us? In addition to that, we were also going to do the same thing as far as oil changes and repair, you know, or set up an account with a shop, you know, a mechanic nearby, and same exact thing, which we thought was really strange, because if everybody's coming together collectively that they're willing to chip in for themselves, you know, if I were the employer and I'd be like, hey, if these guys are all going to do this and they're willing to pay for it, why would I stand in their way? That just makes no sense. You know, even if you're not thrilled with the idea of a union.
That one sentence predicate that you put in there, if all of us come together, scares them.
It does. No, I mean, and that's the thing is, some people have been very discouraged by the somebody came up to me after this latest, union busting meeting, and they were like, you know, well, you know, that's it, we're defeated, you know. How can we compete with that? And we're never going to make it. Look, you know, they got these 61 stores, you know, we can't touch them. And I said, no, the opposite is true, because, look, we're just a small, you know, there's maybe 15 stores, and they are quaking in their boots enough to, you know, go to this extent. That demonstrates to you, no, you do have power, and they're taking action precisely because you have power. If you didn't, they wouldn't do anything. They'd ignore us, you know.
Plus to spend God only knows how much on a union busting.
Yeah, that's campaign, another thing. The union busting firms, they're, you know,
cheap.
They're not cheap, and they were showing the anti-union videos, you know, and it was a high-quality thing. And I mean, even 2 months into this thing, you know, we at that point in time had maybe 6 or 7 stores in Tacoma, and the president of the company came to our store and had a union busting meeting. We had people that had worked there 8, 9 years that said, this guy has never set foot in this store. you guys must be up to something good, you know, to make him come here and get up at 9 in the morning and come talk to us minimum wage losers. So,
Can you guys go into more detail about these union-busting meetings?
This first one that we had, of course, you know, the first thing to maintain is that they're broke. And at this last, let me go back at this last one. The last anti-union meeting we had, it got very heated. There was a lot of screaming and yelling. And somebody had said, you know, you union guys just need to understand, he's being candid with us. He's trying to help us with this. You know, he doesn't have the money to pay for this. And I turned around and looked at him and said, what is he going to say? You know, yeah, we got the money. Come on in, you know, take, please, you know, I mean, of course he's going to say they're broke. You know, I mean, every campaign says that. So, you know, that was one of the first things he stated. And somebody asked him, you know, well, how much money do you make? And, I mean, he just did a double take, and he flipped out, and he looks at him, and he goes, well, I only make $150,000 a year, but the union boss makes $300,000 a year, you know, and which is, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, you know. The president of our local makes like $50,000, I think, if even that. Another driver said $150,000 a year. Boy, and I thought I was doing good making $15,000, so, you know.
Could drive a Lexus. Gold-plated Lexus. Yeah.
But,
And which is fine. I mean, if you're running an entire company, then you deserve to be compensated for it. However, if you're, you know, at the same time, why would any business owner expect their employees to pick up a business expense? That's the big thing that really concerns me. And, you know, if he cannot afford to, then why should we be able to?
I would disagree, though, in that, look, the president of that company is not the guy who is out scrubbing those floors day after day. He's not making, cooking, and serving the pizzas. He doesn't do any of the work that generates profit. He could live on the moon and still continue to make money. I mean, he's, you know, he essentially, as I see it, is the parasite. I mean, he is the unimportant figure. I'm not going to, you know, deny he does something, but, you know, I think it's secondary compared to the actual day-to-day tasks that, you know, pay his salary, really. You know, I mean, the worker's labor pays that, so I don't know. I have a different take.
There's a common prosperity story, as it's called, a method of convincing people where wealth comes from, and that story basically states that we have an investing class that actually invests money, and they're the source of all wealth. If it weren't for their great ideas and their entrepreneurial spirit, that the rest of us would fuck ups, would basically be too piss poor in ideas in order to get together and come up with something to do with our lives. And there's a couple ways of looking at that. On the one hand, you can say, yeah, thanks for the nuclear waste. I'm so glad we came up with that bright idea and you know, modern technology and all the things that it's brought us. And on the other hand, you can say, well, you know, we've got a whole lot of public utilities out there, a whole lot of efforts and organizations that were brought out democratically by people getting together and saying, you know, we need to build a water supply for the city over here. So let's build a water supply for the city over here. And they did it publicly. They did it democratically. And, you know, you can have prosperity. First of all, profit comes from labor that doesn't get compensated. I mean, okay, Marx said it, yes, but he stole it from Adam Smith. Okay. And basically, you get ripped off every time you go to work for somebody. You make $1,000 worth of product, you get paid, if you're lucky, $400 worth of pay. Okay? And on the edge, you might end up picking up some business expenses like your auto insurance and things like that, so you might actually get paid a little less.
Well, we had somebody said, you know, I don't know what you're going on about. When's the last time a poor person hired another poor person? Which, you know, it's just kind of like the old argument that they would say in the slave time days. The slave owners would say, who will feed the slaves without us? You know, we
so
take
generous.
Care of them. You know, we take care of them. Look, you guys, you just have to work 8 hours a day. We go on owning 24 hours a day. It's, you know, it's too high. We can't, you know. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but I guess that's my libertarian stance creeping in. But, you know, which is fine, and I don't begrudge anybody for making money. I think we all want to make as much as we can. The issue I have is, you know, making somebody pay one of to work, exactly. You know, I mean, in an ideal work environment, you show up, you do your job, you go home. And that's, you know, and, you know, if you get paid less, then that's really all you have to do, as opposed to running the whole thing as being responsible all the time. Yet, I guess there's different arguments as opposed to this individual's abilities and commitments to his job.
Well, I mean, in my thing, I have nothing against making money and working hard and making wealth because you work hard. But unfortunately, you don't get rich by working hard. You get rich by getting people to work hard for you, you know, and, you know. So again, I mean, and this is just tangential because, I mean, we know that they can afford it. And this is by something that they released. Once they released that the 5 cent raise, they put out in a memo, well, this is going to cost us $156,000 per year in profit. Now, this figure is significant for a number of reasons. The president of the company had maintained before that they made no profit off of the delivery charge. So he contradicted himself in writing in this statement. Furthermore, we went back and we looked at it and we said, now, wait a second. If every 5 cents they net $156,000, there's 20 more nickels that are unaccounted for. You subtract the 60 cents from the $1.60 and you're left with, you know, a dollar, which is 20 nickels, which means that they made $3,112,000 last year off the delivery charge. And we caught them saying that in writing. So, I mean, they can't afford it.
In addition to which, our store, as far in relation to Papa John's, Domino's, Pizza Time, all the other delivery competitors, ours is the most expensive one. So my question to them would be, why is Pizza Hut being stuck with the highest insurance cost of all these delivery places? So,
right. Yeah.
Which again brings up a BS factor.
Well, one of the things after they dropped the, you know, they dropped saying that the increase was from September 11th. They dropped that after about a month, and then they said it was from just specifically the insurance costs. Which means what? So you're paying $3 million a year for insurance. You better, you know, get Geico or, you know, do something else, you know, switch to something. I don't know. So.
We might have another caller here. Maybe not.
Maybe not. I don't know.
But that's an interesting thing, though. It's like pizza dough, cheap. Pizza ingredients, cheap. Mm-hmm. And then they're actually, like, pushing off the cost onto the customers with these delivery charges.
Lying to them, essentially, because most customers don't know that, you know.
Yeah. But it's like how is they try to like pit the drivers against the customers kind of thing. Like, oh, we'll just raise the prices and then your customers will be even more this kind of thing.
Of course, they said that. They put out, well, you know, if the union comes in, this is one of the arguments also we've heard is, well, if the union comes in, we'll raise prices. You guys don't even care about the customer. And again, my response is, look, high prices don't come from high wages. They come from high profit margins. You know, if you guys can take a pay cut, I mean, if you look at, say, in Europe where, you know, some certain countries in Europe, the minimum wage is quite a bit higher than it is here. And those companies, you know, and some places like $12, $13 an hour, you know, and they produce a profit just fine. You know, they're still making money. So, you know, capable of that.
I'd like to speak to this myth of customer service. We have a the reason I say that is because our phone system has been replaced with
an automated
computer which asks for your name, address, phone number, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Steve, as well as myself, and pretty much every coworker we have all received complaints, numerous complaints from all our customers. That system sucks. You have to get rid of it. Oh, my God. I don't want to deal with this damn system anymore. Blah, 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 blah. Nonstop, over and over and over again. So we go back and we've reported to our higher-ups. Everybody hates this system. They know it themselves because people have actually walked into the store and said, you know what? That system pissed me off so bad, I didn't even want to mess with it. I just wanted to come in, place the order, and just deliver it to me in person. And they have refused to scrap it because, as they say, well, our customers just haven't gotten used to it yet, as opposed to, well, it's their job to accommodate us, you know. So how customer service oriented does that sound to you?
And they really quickly, they also, they've cut like 3 people's shifts out with those computers that no longer have the hours because of that. So, you know, somebody said to us, well, at least they can't export your jobs to Mexico. Well, they have other ways of getting to us.
You know, who knows where that phone program actually ends up.
Maybe, there you go.
Maybe the server is in Mexico, but the I used to do warranty service for a major brand of computer printers. And one of the things I always noticed was that the brand that was actually going down at that point, the brand that was almost going away, was the brand that tried to re-engineer the customer behavior rather than engineering the damn product to be what their customers expected it to be.
Yeah, and we went and did our research about this thing. I called the company, Jason Technologies, and pretended to be an interested person wanting to get buy their units. And they're $11,000 units. I mean, there are leasing options that are available, and I'm sure that's what they're doing. But at any rate, this was coming. They bought these things at a time when they were telling us that, you know, we just can't afford to pay you decent wages, you know. And also at the same time, they opened 2 stores at $300,000 a pop. So they're not broke, you know.
Well, the drivers are making minimum wage. How much are they making every year in profits? Millions?
Yeah, unfortunately, if anybody has any information or can find out how much Emerald City Pizza is making, you can please send us an email at pizzahutworkersunite@yahoo.com, because it is a private company, so we don't have access to that information. We'd sure like to get it. Yeah.
And the number here is 705-9780 if you would like to call in and ask any questions or have any comments. I thought it was important that you mentioned that you're also fighting for the inside people, for a living wage, for cooks and other inside people, and how that has helped you in your unionizing efforts.
Well, some of our best organizers are insiders. In fact, one of the only casualty we have now, the only person that's been fired, is his name is Don. And he was an insider who, you know, who had just really been right out there, you know, fighting hard for us. And unfortunately, Don didn't have the best track record as an employee. And once they discovered that he was an organizer, they really scrutinized him and just waited for him to step out of line so that they could, you know, that they could fire him. Now, the myth of the fast food industry is that it's largely just a job held by kids making to look a couple of bucks or something like that, high school jobs, whatnot. Don's 26, 27 years old. We've got guys that are in their 40s that Pizza Hut is their only job. And Don was struggling along. You know, that was the only job that was out there. And, you know, you can't live off minimum wage. It's impossible. He was making trips to the food bank. The reason that he didn't come today is because his phone was shut off. You know, we couldn't get a hold of him. You know, and he had that problem even when he was employed. So, again, you know, the workers need a living wage, not minimum wage. You know.
I definitely agree.
Absolutely.
You don't. You're like, no, they should get minimum. I tell you.
The minimum allowed by law. But that's like another thing is supposedly, like, you know, pizza drivers sometimes get tips, which is kind of an interesting thing. Is I have some friends in the pizza industry, and it seems that a lot of people, even though, like, you're, you know, might even be taking their order, you might even, you know, be cooking the pizza and driving it to their house, it's like pushed off onto the customers. Like, it's up to the customer's discretion whether or not to give you an extra dollar or two for you hand delivering food to them right there in the comfort of their own homes, as opposed to, say, like a restaurant worker that, like, expects, you know, 15-18% tip each time. But, like, it seems like that the companies, pizza companies, tend to, like, rely on that, like, will you make tips? So therefore, we can afford to, you know, you can, you still have a great job because, you know, you make tips. Well, even though you're only getting paid minimum wage.
Yeah, I'll speak to that. Okay, I mean, we have one guy at our store. This is his only job. Again, he's like 35, maybe something like that. And he only has one vehicle, and it's a beat-up V8 truck. And that's the only thing that this guy has. And he does not have, you know, enough money to get something else. He can't find another job. So he's stuck. He's stuck delivering in this thing that gets horrible gas mileage. Now, he will make about $20 a night in tips sometimes and end up paying $30 in gas. He will make less than minimum wage by the end of the shift. Now, obviously that's not, you know, the average, that's not the you know, for everybody. I mean, I was organizing a guy in a parking lot, and I came up to him, and he said, you know, I don't care. I make $80 a night in tips. You know, I don't make that, but I guess he did. I mean, it's possible. And I, you know, I said to him, well, you should be making 100. That's not the point. You know, the point is these guys are ripping you off. You know, they're you know, if you had a wallet with $9,000 in it and somebody stole $1,000, you wouldn't go, oh, well, hey, I got $8,000 more. What am I complaining about? You know? And then, okay, and then another thing that we get quite a bit is, well, if you don't like it here, go someplace else. And this is what somebody said to me at this last organizing meeting, and it got really heated, and I turned to him and said, that is the most chicken shit thing I've ever heard of, you know. This guy is slapping you in the face. He is stealing from you, you know, and he's saying, you know what, I'm going to give you 60 cents, 65, excuse me, out of that $1.60, because it's my company, and you do what I tell you to do, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know. I mean, that, if somebody, you know, slaps me in the face, I'm going to hit him back, you know. I mean, and unfortunately, there are also, what, if I get another job, it's you know, the only other jobs that are available right now are similar minimum wage jobs, where it's the same story. So stand and fight. Stand, you know, and let's make a change. Let's start here, you know. Steve is nodding.
Yes, absolutely.
The number again is 705-9780. If you'd like to call in with any questions or comments. So I'm curious. It doesn't seem like I haven't heard about this organizing effort necessarily in Olympia yet, and I was wondering, like, what kind of conversations did you have when you first started out, like going to different Pizza Huts and talking to the employees there?
That's a good point. Before I forget, I just wanted to say, if there's anybody out there where we have not made a significant progress in Olympia, if there's any drivers out there that might be listening, please contact us at Pizza Hut Workers Unite. That's one word, at yahoo.com. If there's anybody out there that would maybe want to help us organize, same thing. Steve, you were going to say something, it looked like.
Oh, yeah. One of the things which I found interesting is a lot of people are confused as to, well, how exactly is this going to help me? One of my concerns initially is I don't want to spend my money to some union boss who's basically going to collect it and, you know,
go
basically just try to,
it.
You know, like jerk me off under the table at the same time. So that was my biggest concern. However, we are in a position where we're asking simply to be compensated for business expenses, which we are currently paying for. And, you know, it would be one thing if we were asking, you know, for $19 an hour plus $5 per delivery. You know, I mean, this is not outside the realm of reasonability here, which is the big concern. And I suppose that definition is open for debate. But I think, again, as I said before, even the most conservative person would agree that employees should not be paying business expenses.
Well, just to talk about the dues really quickly there, a union is democratic. So the contract is as good as the pressure that we can put on the company, you know, and being as small as we were already able to extract 5 cents in concessions. So I think once we're organized, we definitely stand a good chance. And if people don't like the contract, we don't have to vote on it, you know. So, you know, unless we make more than the dues themselves, we just simply wouldn't vote on it. But you had asked about some of the conversations with people. we've up until very, very recently, everybody we've talked to has been overwhelmingly positive. We've had, to be honest, we've had a difficult time in getting large numbers of people to come out to the committee meetings, and you know, we don't have a huge number of organizers, but everybody that we talked to was always very supportive, and you know, what can I do, where can I sign up, and you know, you guys are doing a good job. With one exception, I did talk to one lady one time who parroted the September 11th argument. You know, I'd started talking to her about, you know, what do you think about this $1.60 charge? And she said, well, you have to understand that we're dealing with September 11th right now, so we have to make sacrifices. And, you know, when I talk to people like that, I you know, you just got to turn around and walk away. You know, you're really not going to make any progress with that. But I would say things have begun to change ever since the committee meeting, and which is why another reason that we're talking to people is we're unfortunately, I'd say it broke down to about a third of the drivers were very supportive of the union, a third that we talked to were, you know, maybe against, and maybe the rest were somewhere in the middle. It looks like after this latest anti-union meeting that we're kind of losing the middle ground, you know, because a lot of people, this will be their first exposure to what a union's about, and they had to see this propaganda, you know, this, you know, anti-union BS, and that's going to leave a big impression on them. And so we had some organizers about a week ago who were up in Seattle, and for the first time we have drivers that wouldn't talk to us, you know. So, you know, but this anti-union meeting is also kind of it is bad, but by the same time, Pizza Hut has played their hand a little too early. You know, they've gone all out, and they've made all these sweeping promises, and in 2 months from now, when gas prices have not dropped and we start really organizing hard again, they're going to try and show the anti-union meetings, and people are going to say, hey, we've seen this. We've been through this before, you know. So we may recede for a little while, but we still have a very strong core of activists, and that's, I think, what we need to rely on.
Personally, I'm pretty optimistic about the whole thing because Steve and myself and a small handful of other people have basically been running this completely underground, completely 100% underground, underground flyers, underground little back alley speeches. It's almost like a small little mafia organization where we've done nothing but just run back and forth to all these stores, avoiding...
Bad analogy.
Yeah. Well...
let's not...
Yeah. Well, you know, just a little... Yeah, we'll just say an underground little thing that has been running around just sort of organizing this whole thing. And even without an organized union, you know, one, we got 5 cents, and again, no union, no nothing, just a complete underground movement has generated, you know, this large response of hiring out a conference hall to hold these anti-union meetings in, and of course forcing the expense of a union-busting firm. So if there was an actual organized movement and an organized union, I think the response would be much better, because just a small, really, if you have just a small handful of people working on an underground movement creating this to this extent, then I'd say the chances for succeeding are pretty good.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We've had no paid organizers on this. The union has been supporting our paper production and things like that, but also a lot of it's been... That has come from donations and, you know, labor, you know, donated labor. So, yeah, it's been solely a rank-and-file kind of movement, and it is. It's made tremendous progress, all things considered, you know.
So what exactly are your ultimate goals for a contract suitable to people that you've talked to? What are they looking to get out of this?
Well, again, we're fighting for the full $1.60, and I'm going to leave out some demands here, but you know, we're fighting for the full $1.60. We want a living wage for inside workers. We would like to set up some sort of a repair fund for the drivers. We want to see real health care benefits, because the one that maybe Steve can talk about his experience with Pizza Hut's health care. Because it really is a joke. It's really terrible. You should say something about that.
The company is basically, the health insurance company, I should say, is basically set up like this. You spend $15 a week. That accumulates to $60 a month. And at the end of the year, that's about $7,200. And you get a medical savings account, which is $1,000. And that's per for the year. However, and you deduct from that savings account with a $10 copay, whatever the cost is. Now, the little catch to all this is this medical company has a list of what that service should cost, and however, it's ridiculously low. So whenever you go to the doctor, you end up paying usually $70 to $80 more than what the insurance had initially covered it for. And I personally have about $250-$300 in medical collections for that right now, from this insurance, which is supposedly supposed to take care of us.
And you know, my wife has endometriosis, which is a kind of a chronic disease. And had we not actually gotten health care, we just had to pay for it ourselves, we'd probably be bankrupt with the expenses, the way that Pizza Hut has it set it up.
So what are their goals?
What did I leave out here?
I think before we were speaking about the insurance. Just setting it up to where we could collectively buy an insurance policy, which number one is, commercial driving insurance, and number two, just to make sure everybody's covered. Because honestly, right now, God forbid, if I were to get into an accident, which was my fault, I would basically have to, as quickly as possible, just, rip the uniform off, throw a shirt on, and just claim, yeah, I'm just some guy driving down the street who just bought myself some pizza. Because if I go in as I'm working for Pizza Hut, my insurance company is going to give me the finger when they try to get compensated. And, like the caller before was saying, there's thousands of drivers who are basically committing insurance fraud because they have to. And, if you go to your employer and say, hey, I need $400 a month so I can pay the insurance to do the job for you, they're, again, going to give you the finger.
And the APDD guy brought up a real good point about the equipment, like the cell phone, you need things like flashlights, snow tires, or chains, or... there's a whole slew of equipment that gets thrust onto the drivers themselves, that they're not compensated for or anything like that. We are also in the process of circulating a survey right now to talk to people and see what their demands are to make sure that we have the right demands, so we're it's a progression.
Right on. So how could people here in Olympia that are listening to this program continue to support this effort?
Again, please contact us at Pizza Hut Workers Unite at yahoo.com. People who maybe have heard of what's called assault, you could get a job at Pizza Hut and get in contact with us and spread the word from the inside. That's where we've had the most success with. Is in, I'm sure that most people, when we hand them our material, they might glance at it and then they kind of toss it or whatever. But when we have one person inside the store that we connect with and keep in contact with, and that person then distributes our material from the inside, that has been how we've had success, the most success, because very quickly the rest of the workers follow. Once they realize that we're not the big bad boogeymen that we've been made out to be. So,
I think this is really important because if you people succeed in doing this, then like the whole pizza industry, I think, in Western Washington will be changed from this.
Well, that's what we hope is there's been a net 2.2 million manufacturing jobs shipped overseas since Uncle Georgie took office. It's been going on since before that, since the 90s under, Democrats as well. So as I see it, workers are really getting pushed into a corner, that these are, to a large extent, the only jobs that are available, at least in the section of Tacoma where we're from. There aren't any jobs. There aren't any good jobs. You know, you have a choice between, you know, Pizza Hut, Walmart, or, you know, the military, you know, which is, you know, unfortunately, you shouldn't have to put your life on the line to, well, I mean, it's a steady in check. You get health care and stuff, but I don't think you should have to put your life on the line just to make a living. One of our good friends, Lewis, who used to work at the store, he ended up going into the military just for economic reasons. He just didn't have anything else, and now he's in Iraq, you know, and I hope he's doing well. I hope he's okay, you know. But as we see it, you know, we would, I think that the minimum wage jobs and the MIC jobs need to start fighting back, and hopefully people will follow from there, you know.
That's awesome. Do you guys have anything else you want to say?
Steve?
I think basically just contact us or email us. You know, if you're interested in, if you are in fact a driver and you're interested in spreading this or continuing to spread this, because one thing I would like to point out is we are basically outmatched as far as economically goes. So in order for this to succeed, it has to be run on a grassroots level, and as long as people continue to do so, then I think we'll be in good shape, because even as an unorganized group, we've done pretty well so far. So as long as we continue, you know, as the grassroots movement picks up and continues to increase, then I think we'll be in good shape.
Good point.
Well, thank you both for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we hope to hear back from you sometime.
Great.
Cool. You're listening to 91.3 FM Free Radio Olympia. Number here is 705-9780, and hopefully DJ Drew's got something mixing up for us.